Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
This is, like I said, the week of prayer, and so I want to share a message today that's focused on prayer. Now, maybe some of you, you're here with us today, and you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, and maybe the reason for that is because you prayed once, and God didn't answer your prayer. Maybe you feel God let you down, God abandoned you, he disappointed with you, and maybe you says, you know what, if that's the way God is, I want nothing to do with him. Maybe you're even surprised this morning finding yourself in a church because you haven't been to church in a long time. Here's the thing. Prayer is not a magic formula. It's not like the movie Aladdin. How many saw Aladdin? There was a genie. You rub the lamp, the genie comes out, and you get three wishes, okay? That's not how prayer works. You don't say, oh, God, and he says, poof, I will give you three desires of your heart. No, he doesn't do that. See, prayer is not about getting what we want. Prayer is about getting God and what God wants. And so many times in our focus on prayer, it's so easy for us to focus on ourselves and what we want. And maybe you're saying, I don't understand why God didn't heal or why God didn't come through, why God didn't provide, why God wasn't there for me, for my family, for a friend, a loved one. And you turned your back on God. My prayer is that you will realize today how good God is, how loving God is, and that even when things don't seem to work out, God has an ultimate good thing that is going to work out if you will just trust him and give your life to him. And if you have found yourself walking away from God, my prayer is today you'll come back to him and return to him this morning by the time our service is ended. Jesus wants us to pray. He taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. You can turn there this morning if you like. And this prayer, Jesus kind of gave a pattern for prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And when I was a kid growing up, we were taught to memorize the Lord's Prayer. In fact, praying was just reciting the Lord's Prayer. That's all it was repeating memorized prayers. And it kind of, for me, came to a place where you repeated the prayers as fast as you could, all right? Kind of like an auctioneer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Who give me $1, $1, $2, you know. That's what prayer was. But when I became a Christian, you see, there's a difference between being religious and being in relationship with Christ. That's what being a Christian is, having a relationship, not just doing good things. When I became a Christian, I realized that the Lord's Prayer wasn't to be a memorized ritual, but instead it was a template. It was a pattern that contained different areas of prayer that I need to ponder, I need to think about, I needed to customize and personalize for each and every day for myself and the people around me. And in your notes this morning, I'm just going to give you a quick rundown because maybe some of you say, I really don't know how to pray. On the back of your bulletin, the first half, we kind of give you the Lord's Prayer broken down. And this is how you can pray. Note that it starts off in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus said, in this manner, in this pattern, pray. He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The first thing Jesus pointed to was God being our Father. Notice of all the titles that he gave God, he didn't say Master, he didn't say Lord, he didn't say Almighty One, he said Father. Jesus wants us to realize that God is loving, and as a father should be loving and take care, God wants to be loving and take care of us, and that's the focus of prayer, is a love relationship with God. So as you're just starting the day, just realize that you have a father, Abba Father, a daddy in heaven who loves you and cares about you. And he wants to talk with you. He wants to help you. He's there. And don't start, as some of us grew up with dads that abandoned us. Or maybe they were there present physically, but they really weren't there emotionally, relationally, and they kind of seemed aloof and far off. Or maybe we had some dads that were really mean and abusive, and sometimes we carry our concept of our earthly father to our heavenly father. So we see God as abandoning us, or God as being aloof, or God as being abusive and harsh and mean and abrasive and just waiting for us to mess up, and bam, I dropped a brick on him from heaven. That's not how God is. Jesus said he's your loving father. And so you need to have that frame of who God is as you start prayer. Because if you see God as being aloof, abandoned, or abrasive, your prayers are going to be totally askew from the very get-go. He's your loving father. And then Jesus said, hallowed be thy name. To hallow something meant to revere, to honor. In biblical terms, it's to worship. And so this talks about us worshiping God, praising God, thanking God for what he has done. That's where this comes into play. There's times when I do this part of my prayers. I'll grab my phone and I'll just get some worship music. I've got some playlists on Spotify, some worship. Or maybe there's a specific song. I'll look it up on YouTube. I'll play the video and I'll just take some time and I'll worship Jesus in that time of God. It talks about in Psalms, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart and his courts with praise. It's good for us to start out praising and acknowledging God, because this is what I found when I praise God. When I praise God, I realize how big God is. It puts life in perspective. Sometimes my problems seem so big, and yet God seems so small. But as I praise God, God begins to get bigger, and my problems begin to get smaller, and it puts God in the proper perspective, and my whole life and my problems and my situations in proper perspective. So start with praise and worship and thanksgiving. After that, Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. He is ruling and reigning. He's on a throne. And when Jesus said, pray for the kingdom, what he was saying is, I want you to pray for my rule and reign to happen in your life and in the lives of everyone around you. That's what it means to pray for the kingdom. We're praying for God to rule and reign in us, in our workplaces, in our community, in our schools, in our church. We want God to rule and reign, to rule in families. And we want God's heart for the world. We want God's ways for the world. And so we pray for the kingdom to be built. Part of the kingdom is righteousness. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. So you're praying for God's righteousness and character to be in you and your family. You're praying for his will, for his desires to be accomplished. And part of that is salvation. You're praying for salvation for people that are not saved. You're praying for spiritual growth in yourself and your family and others. That's all part of the rule and the reign of God, for us to be saved and to be growing spiritually, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might so that we can kick the teeth of the devil. Okay, that was a good place for an amen, okay? Let's try that again. So we can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and we can kick the teeth of the devil. Amen. Amen. You see, the world thinks sometimes God is a wimp, and we see evil so prevalent. Do you know that God wants to rule and reign and to show that the kingdom of his light is more powerful than the kingdom of darkness? And he does that through you and me. We bring the kingdom. So we pray, God, build your kingdom through me. That's our focus. Okay, Jesus went on to say, give us this day our daily bread. He's teaching us to pray for our own needs, our personal needs. Bread was what they ate. That was the main staple. So he says, pray for your needs and the needs of your family. And this is, we can really get caught up here. I mean, how many of you have needs in your life? Physical needs, financial needs, emotional needs, you know, whatever, you know, tons of needs. Pray for that. Then Jesus said, forgive me of my sins. We need to take a time in our prayer where we're just waiting on God and say, God, look at my life and convict me of anything I've done wrong. And if there is, help me to get it right with you. Is there anything that I'm calling right that you call wrong? Is there any compromise in my life? The Holy Spirit will speak to us if we listen to him. And so take some time just to have a clear conscience with God that you know you're walking in obedience. And then Jesus said, forgive us. He said, not only forgive us of our sins, but help us to forgive those who've sinned against us. So we take some time and think about, has anyone hurt us that I need to let go of the offense? I need to forgive them. I need to not be bitter and angry and hold a grudge. That's an important part of prayer. Jesus goes on to say, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, help me overcome sin. Look at your life. Are there any temptations that you're facing? Are there any struggles? Are there any trials in you that could derail you? And say, God, help me defeat the devil. Help me to overcome sin. Deliver me from anything I might go through today. And then Jesus wraps it up with a phrase that's kind of unusual. He says, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Now, as I have looked at the Lord's Prayer, this statement right here, you know, it seems just in a way out of place because it seems kind of poetic and flowery. It's almost like something Shakespeare would write. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. I mean, it just kind of has that feel. It's flowery, but also there's something else. Do you notice that it's a repetition of the kingdom? When we first got done praying, after we praise and worship God, we says, yours is, we pray for your kingdom to come, your will be done. And now at the end, he comes back and he says, yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory. Why does Jesus repeat the kingdom at the end? In your notes this morning, I think there's a reason, and this is what we have. The last phrase of the Lord's Prayer is to recenter us as to why we are still here on planet Earth, and that's to build the kingdom of God. I think Jesus knows how easy it is for us to get distracted from our mission. You see, as we pray, and we start praying, and we praise and worship Him, God, help me to do your will today, and then we come to, give me this day my daily bread, help me with my needs, we can get so caught up in what's going with us that we have just forgotten about the reason we're still on the planet. Friends, the reason the church is still on the planet is to win lost souls to Christ. You see, we can do everything else better in heaven. I don't know about you, but I can worship God better in heaven than I can down here. When I've got no problems in heaven, woo, man, that's easy to worship instead of when I got financial problems or health problems or relationship problems or stuff going on at work or at school. I mean, and I don't know about you. I mean, I know my messages are okay, but wouldn't you rather have teaching from Jesus up in heaven this morning? Wouldn't that be great? And I know this, I can relate to you a whole lot better when my sin nature is taken care of up in heaven than it can down here, and vice versa. I mean, it goes both ways. We can fellowship better up in heaven. There's one thing we can do on earth better than we can do in heaven, and that's win lost souls. Why? There are no lost souls in heaven. And that's why Jesus has the church here. Because if he says the purpose of church is about worship, it's about fellowship, it's about teaching, then we would be in heaven today. But no, the purpose of the church is to reach the lost. And in your notes this morning, we want to talk about that. As we talk about yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, there's three things God wants us to know. Number one, yours is the kingdom, talks about our mission is to build the kingdom of God. Our mission is to build the kingdom of God. And our mission statement as a church is actually going to be our theme for 2020. Our theme last year was seek the king, see the kingdom. Our theme this year is what our mission statement is. Our mission statement is to help all people find and follow Jesus. That's why we exist as a church, to help people find Jesus and then learn how to follow him with their life. The reason we do the food pantry every Tuesday morning out of this room in our kitchen and hospitality room is so that we can help all people find and follow Jesus. The reason we did our Nerf outreach last year in the mega sports camp. The reason we're going to do them again this year. We're going to do a prayer and cookie giveaway at the mall at Christmas time next year. We're going to do a Halloween outreach called The Abyss. It's going to be really cool, a lot of fun. But the reason we do these things is to help all people find and follow Jesus. The reason we've hired a youth pastor, and Pastor Zach and Kendra, happy to say that they will be with us the last Sunday of January. They're moving in. Amen. Looking forward to that. But the reason we've done that is because we want all the students, this next generation, to find and follow Jesus. Everything we do in the church, our mission is to help all people find and follow Jesus. That's our mission as a church, but that needs to be our mission as individuals in our lives. So many times it's easy to get caught up in what's going on. We get caught up in, my car broke down, the water heater went out, and I got to find a way to pay for that. Or how am I going to afford college for my kids? Or how's my kids' GPA going right now? Or you know, how's this, how's that? And we look at all these problems, all these issues, things going on in life, and we can get consumed. But what is our mission? Because you see, your GPA, your kids' GPA is temporary. When they die, God's not going to say, were you the valedictorian of your class? When we die, God's not going to say, how much money did you have in your bank account? When we stand before Jesus in heaven, he's not going to say, how new was your vehicle, or how nicely remodeled was your house, or how much clothes did you have in your closet? God's not going to ask us any of that. He's not going to say, how popular were you? He's not going to say, how affluent were you? He's going to say, what did you do to influence people for the kingdom? To influence them to come to Christ, to grow into Christ. That's what is going to be the focus of eternity. And yet so many times in our lives, we get focused on God, heal this, God provide this, God protect me from that, deliver me from that, defend me in this area, God help me with this relationship because they're a real booger and I don't know what to do. And we get so caught up with the stuff of life that we forget about the kingdom of God. When we're saying, yours is the kingdom, it reminds us of what am I trying to build with my life? We had a word in the service about God has a calling for you. God has a calling, and that calling is different for each and every one of us. If you're a teacher, how can you use that influence for the kingdom? If you're in carpentry, an electrician, the oil field, how do you use that? How do you use your time to influence others or influence yourself for the kingdom? How do you use your finances? How do you use your talents and abilities to build the kingdom of God, to expand the work of God on the earth? What are we building our lives with? What are we building our lives for? That needs to recenter us. We're entering a new year, a new decade. I want you to think back the last 10 years, okay? What have you seen God do in your life in the past 10 years? I've seen God do a lot. I've seen God heal. I've seen God take my kids from being little to pursuing God in ministry and going after God. And there's a lot of things, but you know what? I want more. What about you? Do you want to see God do more? Do you want to see more of the kingdom in your life, in your family, in your workplace? How many people in your workplace have come to Christ in the past 10 years? Because of your influence? Ooh, that's a weighty question. Where do you want your workplace or your classmates in school to be with Jesus a year from now? You see, so many times we get so caught up in life and we're not thinking, God, how can I influence those around me for the kingdom? But if that's not part of our prayer, if that's not a main part of our focus, the kingdom is not going to be increased anywhere in our lives. And so we need to be people who are focusing, God, help to me to build your kingdom, to see your influence grow, to see people get saved, to see people grow, for some maybe to be called to ministry, for some to get involved in ministries that are reaching other people. Help us all to share our testimony, to learn how to share the gospel. God, help me to be your representative on earth, sharing the kingdom, the love, the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God, help me to help all people find and follow Jesus. I think that's why Jesus repeated it, because he wanted the kingdom to be on our hearts and minds. As we wrap up our prayer time and get ready to step out of the door of our house, to go to work, to go to school, to go wherever it is in our day, and make an impact for him. Yours is the kingdom. Jesus then says, yours is the power. Number two this morning, I think that focuses on our method to accomplish the kingdom. That's through the power of God. The way we accomplish things for God is by reliance on his power, not by our abilities, not by our wisdom and our plans and strategies. Now, don't get me wrong, we need to prepare. If you're teaching one of our kids' classes in Royal Rangers or Children's Church, you just don't take the lesson plan in there and sit down and open it up and say, oh, Holy Spirit, anoint me, here I am, without ever, never looking at the lesson. All right? We need to prepare. Our worship team, they just don't get up on a Sunday morning and say, oh, we're going to do whatever song comes to mind at the moment. No, there's practice. They're learning the songs. They're memorizing the songs. They're wanting to make sure that it's done with excellence. We need to plan and prepare and to do things right. I'm glad Barbara plans and prepares and schedules people for Food Pantry and doesn't say, well, whoever shows up today is going to help us feed the 100-plus people that are coming through here this week. I mean, that would be a real mess if there was no preparation. So we need to plan and prepare, but here's the thing. If all we're doing is planning and preparing and strategizing and getting ready, but we haven't taken any time to prepare spiritually and say, God, we need your anointing, because it's not the words that I say. It's not the things that I do. God, you got to speak to hearts. You got to prepare them. You got to open them up to you. It's like Charles Spurgeon with his 700 people praying in the boiler room. He knew that people praying made the difference. And so we realize, God, I need your power. How do we have power? How do we obtain spiritual power? Three quick things this morning. Letter A in your notes. We need to be connected to God by maintaining a consistent time of prayer in the Word. It's interesting. How many watched the Rose Parade? How many like, did anyone watch the Rose Parade this last week? Some of you did. That's one of my wife's favorite things to do. She loves the Rose Parade. Several years ago, there was a float in the Rose Parade. It stalled. It ran out of gas, and they had to get a tow truck to tow it. You know whose float it was? Standard Oil Company. Here you've got Standard Oil with this vast resources of all this gasoline and oil to power this vehicle. But because the vehicle wasn't filled, it had no power. And how sometimes is that like us as Christians? We have all the vast resources of heavens at our fingertips, but we haven't taken the time to pull into God's filling station and say, God, fill me up. Let me be with you. God, give me power today. And so we're on empty and we need a tow truck. Here's the thing. My computer is powerful. It can do a lot of things. But when I plug my computer into the internet, it infinitely increases its ability for productivity. And you and I, we have great talents. We have great gifts that can be used for many things. It's like the computer. But friends, when we tap into the power of prayer, it opens us up to the infinite possibilities of God. When we pray, when we're getting close to God, we're tapping into his power. When we're reading in the Word, that Word, it washes us. It empowers us. It makes us strong. It builds us faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We become stronger Christians as we pray and spend time in the Word. And what happens? That avails us to the power of God. What kind of power does God have? Well, if you need provision, you pray to the God who provided meat and manna for millions of people who are out in the wilderness with no Walmart, no credit cards, okay? God is the God of provision. You come to the God of healing, who healed the blind, who helped the lame to walk again, who even raised the dead, and you need healing, someone needs healing, you can pray for them and believe that God will heal them and raise them up. There's someone who's addicted to alcohol. They're in a prison. They're in chains. God sets them free as he set free the Gadarene demoniac who was possessed by a devil, who had been chained and shackled. He lost his life and lost everything, but he was restored by the power of God back to his family and his community. Friends, when we pray, we're opening ourselves up to the almighty, omnipotent power of God. And so we need to be connected. As Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. It's not weekly we pray or monthly we pray, but it's daily. This daily connection is how we have power. That's letter A. Letter B, pray for fresh power and expect to move in the gifts of the Spirit. You need to pray for power. God, I need power today. It's not just you're having your regular devotions, but in those devotions, God, give me power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the church. Friends, the New Testament church was filled with the power of God, and as you read throughout Acts, they had refillings after that. Paul said to the Ephesians, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need continual new power of God. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need a rebaptism. God, I need new power. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you need to be praying, God, I need the power of God. You see, when you are baptized in the Spirit, two things happen. You receive supernatural power, and you receive a supernatural language. You can pray in tongues. Now, when you pray in tongues, here's the thing. It's not you doing the praying. The Holy Spirit is praying through you. In fact, there was a study conducted by, I believe it was the University of Pennsylvania. They had people who were Spirit-filled, who spoke in tongues, and they connected them up to like electrodes that monitored the brain waves, the brain function, and they connected them to the part of the brain that monitored speech. And they had them speak in their native language, and when they spoke, those parts of the scan were active and going. And he says, now we want you to pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues. They prayed, and the part of the brain that activates speech did nothing. It was like they were saying nothing at all. It's scientific evidence that when you're speaking in tongues, you're not doing the thinking. The Holy Spirit's praying through you. And here's the thing, and this is letter C in your notes this morning. Let the Holy Spirit intercede for you by regularly praying in tongues. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we have that supernatural language that the Holy Spirit prays through us, why wouldn't we want the Holy Spirit, who knows everything and is all-powerful, who knows what's going to happen in your day, to pray for us for that day, to pray to give us power? He can pray to God for you. He knows what you're going to face. He knows what we're going through. And yet, I've talked to so many Christians. Yeah, I'm baptized in the Spirit. I spoke in tongues 25 years ago, and I haven't spoken since. It's like, oh, you're missing out on such a blessing. Part of the power of God, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 4, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. We need to be people that pray and also pray in the Spirit, that we pray in tongues. And if you've been baptized in the Spirit, I encourage you, start out just by saying, I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. I'm going to set the timer on my clock. I'm going to pray in tongues for 5 minutes. Maybe then boost up to 10. I mean, how long do you spend praying and you talk, praying to God, thinking what you need to talk about, to God about? I encourage you to take at least a quarter of that time or a tenth of that time, depending on how long you pray, and pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit pray for you. It's something I think a lot of us never even think about how to have power with God. And I believe as we become people of prayer and we're asking God for fresh power, we're thinking about building the kingdom, and we're praying in the Spirit, God will give us opportunities to move like we've never seen before. And at the end of this year, you're going to have a greater influence in your school, a greater influence on your campus, a greater influence in your place of employment, a greater influence in your neighborhood, and you will see the kingdom of God built in people's lives. So, Jesus said, yours is the kingdom. That's about our mission is to build the kingdom. Yours is the power. That's our method. Now, number three, Jesus said, yours is the glory, and this is our motive. This has to do with our motive. Why do we do what we do? When a race car driver wins a race, who receives the glory? The driver. I mean, the car gets a little credit, but they don't say, wow, way to go, car. No, they focus on the driver. The car is just the vehicle through which the driver accomplishes. And here's the thing that we need to realize. Friends, you and I are the race cars. Jesus is the driver. He needs to be, Jesus is the one who accomplishes the work. We just need to be the race car that says, here I am, Lord, use me. And so when God does something, it's not like, that's right, that was me who did that. I taught that lesson. I witnessed to that person. I prayed for them, and they were healed. Oh, man, I fasted during the week of prayer, and it was my fasting that made that happen. No. Our motive for what we do is to give glory to the Son of God, who gave his life for us. Why do you do what you do? Why do you serve in the food pantry? What's your motive? Well, why do you teach kids' church? Why are you on the worship team? Why are you a greeter? Why do you do what you do at work? Do you want people to notice you so you can kind of feel good about yourself? Our motive needs to be, God, I want you to receive glory and honor, because it's all about you. If Jesus didn't come to earth and die on the cross and raise again from the dead, none of us would be here today. We wouldn't be saved from our sin, forgiven. I wouldn't be healed. My wife wouldn't be healed. I know I wouldn't be a preacher today. I'd probably be divorced at least once, probably an alcoholic, because I just know me. I'm just a very intense person. I know, I'm sure you've never picked that up. I'm an intense person, and if I'm in with God, I'm intense with God. If I'm in the world, I'd be intense in the world. I would hate to think where I would be without Jesus today, where my kids would be if I'd even have any kids, if I'd even be alive. I owe everything I have to Jesus Christ. We owe everything we have to Jesus Christ. That's why we do what we do. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 26, verse 8, your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. He's saying, God, I want people to know about you. I want them to know that you're the one true God, not Buddha, not Joseph Smith, not anything. I want them to know Jesus. That's my desire. Your renown, oh man. Friends, what's your desire of your heart? God, give me more money. Give me that promotion. Help my kids to get that scholarship. God, help me to get good grades. God, help me with this. You know, those things are good. There's nothing wrong with them. But God knows that the only desire that matters in eternity is, God, help me to influence myself and other people to find and follow you. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Where would our churches in America be today if everyone says, God, your glory, your kingdom is the desire of my heart? What would our schools look like if every Christian student says, God, that's the desire of my heart? What would your workplace look like if every Christian there says, that was the desire of my heart, his name and his renown? Here's the thing. Maybe you'd say, you'd look and say, man, God, I haven't done that good of a job. As I look at the past year, past decade, whatever it is, But maybe you'd say, man, I want 2020 to be different. I want 2020 to have an eternal focus, a kingdom focus. And the thing is, God doesn't beat us over the head and say, man, you guys blew it. Because there's times, man, I'm doing well with the kingdom. There's other times I'm getting caught up in life. And I need to come to the last part of the Lord's Prayer and say, God, I'm sorry. I've gotten off track. How many get recentered? It's your kingdom. I need your power. I'm doing this for your glory so people know you and praise you and will someday join me worshiping you in heaven.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.